Hello and welcome to Sex Talks. It's been a while since our last episode, so I'm excited to dive in today and really get the ball rolling again. My hope is you've listened to our first four episodes. If not, feel free to go back, check those out. The last two have been specifically sharing keys from my story, from my journey that the Lord revealed to me in breaking out of sexual addiction. And I believe that God has breakthrough and freedom for every single one of us, whether it's a sexual addiction or any other kind of addiction. The way I define addiction in our first episode is it's something that I cannot say no to. And so I believe that for most of us, there's probably those places in our life that we think, man, I have a hard time saying no here. And I believe that God wants to bring breakthrough and freedom in those areas. These keys that I shared in the last two episodes that I learned, number one was surrender. Surrendering to the Lord, the one who made me, is really the best plan for freedom, because he knows what I need. He knows what's going to actually fulfill me way better than I do. And so surrendering even those desires, for me, it was surrendering the desire for intimacy, the desire for companionship, the desire for close connection with someone, laying that down. And the Lord was so good to me in that. And now I'm happily married with three kids and have a beautiful life that I'm so grateful for. But each moment of surrender in that process is essential, because God can use surrender. He can use it to bring health and life the way that he intended, not just the way that I think it should happen. And then the second key was living in the light. This is really an intentional choice to take the things, maybe it's the motives or the decisions or the places where I've partnered with a lie, and to expose those. The enemy loves to set up strongholds in the places where we've allowed his lies to kind of fester and take root in us, that we've been unwilling to share because maybe we're afraid of how people are going to respond, or maybe we don't have safe people around us that we feel like, man, I could go to them. And sometimes it's just a choice to go, you know what? It doesn't really matter who it is. I need to get this out. I need to live in the light. And so I'd encourage you today, if there's any of those places in you that you feel like, man, I'm really scared to share this, it probably means you need to. And so find someone that you can talk to that's going to point you to Jesus and share those things. Those are the first two keys. And I want to share a third key today. This was a part of my journey after I had surrendered pornography. I'd surrendered masturbation. I had surrendered even the desire and the pursuit of a romantic relationship. It was a part of my life where I really laid all that down. I said, okay, God, I'm going to try this your way. I'm done doing this my way. And at this time, I had picked up a book called The Search for Significance. It's a powerful book. And the book was really helpful to me, but there was specifically one chapter where the author had listed out verses from scripture specifically to do with how God thinks about me, what God has done for me, or just my identity in general. And this was a turning point for me. Reading, like, I don't know what it was about it besides that it's God's voice, but reading all of those verses compiled together, it was like taking a shot of adrenaline, of spiritual adrenaline. Like, it was exactly what I needed. At that time of my life, I was pretty broken. I was coming out of a really broken marriage. I was coming out of like a lot of addiction, like I was saying, with pornography and other things, just feeling a lot of shame and guilt. I was feeling like, man, I can never really live in the fullness and the freedom that I want to. I felt like this was just going to be my life, like forever. I was just always going to be addicted to porn. I was I was always going to be kind of living this secret life, which is kind of tough to manage, two lives at the same time. And reading this chapter was a light bulb going on for me. Hearing God's voice about me, what he thinks about me, it changed everything. Like, it was like the next 2 weeks I was living on a cloud. It was like I had joy I'd never experienced before. Like, even sexualizing women and pornography and that kind of that draw that had been there for so long, it's like I didn't even, it just went right past me. That's the power of God's voice. That's the power. When he speaks, it shapes, it changes, it creates. God created the world by speaking. His words in themselves carry the power to accomplish what he's saying. So when we listen and we receive from God's voice about who we are, about our identity, it shapes and creates things within us. It calls us higher. It calls us into potential, into a vision of our life that we never even could dream of ourselves. God does this with people in scripture. There's a guy named Gideon, even in the book of Judges. God speaks to Gideon, even though Gideon's hiding, and he's kind of a, in many ways, if you read it, he's kind of a coward. And God says, God calls him a mighty man of God. Like, I'm sure Gideon was like shaking his head, like, why do you call me this? Because God sees who he made us to be. He sees who we can be, and he calls us higher. God's voice also moves us from defense, right? Like, I'm just trying to manage sin, and I'm trying to make sure I don't, you know, step into more addiction or bad decisions, or, and it's this constant kind of life of fear and defense and like, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to sin again, to a life of offense when we partner with his voice about who we are and what God is saying to society, what he's saying to nations, what he's saying to his people. We actually begin to step out of like defense into offense and begin to speak what he's saying over these people, over countries and nations and people groups, over our families, over our churches, over our friends. And we actually become a beacon of light and hope for people because that's what God is saying. God's voice changes everything. We desperately need his voice. The lie of addiction and the lie of the enemy is usually that it's never going to change. Like, it's always going to be this way. It's kind of this permanence of like brokenness. Your brokenness will stay permanent. And he tries to attach our brokenness to our identity. He tries to say, this is who you are. You're not just addicted to pornography. You're a pervert or you're an addict. There's a big difference between I'm battling an addiction and I am an addict. But the enemy loves to do this because once he can attach identity to brokenness, he's created something altogether different in our belief systems. He's created a stronghold. And in our society, you actually see this. A lot of times, there's normal questioning and confusion. For example, around our gender, right? I think a lot of us go through a normal phase of questioning our gender. That's perfectly normal. I did. It's so normal to be like, man, why aren't I a girl? Why aren't I a guy? And to process through that. And even like, maybe I want to be a girl. But when that natural, normal questioning is twisted with his lies, then he attempts to attach that twisting and that questioning to our identity. And instead of hearing the truth from the Lord about who we are, we become something different entirely because our identity has been lied about and we've received it. God speaks a better word about who you are, about who I am. He has intention behind what he does. Always, behind what he creates. There is beauty and intention in his heart towards you and towards me in every aspect of our lives. Satan's oldest strategy is to question what God has said. Go back to Eve in the very beginning, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Eve is in the garden and the devil comes and he says, "Did God really say, don't eat the fruit of the tree? Is that really what God said?" He knew what God said. He's trying to twist it. Or go to Jesus' temptation in Matthew 4. The devil comes to him, and the first two temptations, the devil says, "If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God." He knew Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus knew he was the Son of God, but how did Jesus know that? That's what his Father had said. That's what his Father had declared over his life. And the devil is questioning, what has God said about you? What has God given you as an identity? And he's questioning it. He's twisting it. He's trying to put doubt. He's trying to plant doubt in Jesus's mind about who he is. And I love Jesus' response because this is essential for us. And Jesus says, "Man shall not live on bread alone," the meals we eat every day, "but on every word that proceeds, comes forth from the mouth of God." Think about this for a minute. What if we lived valuing God's voice at the same level and frequency as eating food? What would that change? What would that shift in us? Even for one day, every time we eat food, we stopped and say, "God, what are you saying over my life, over my family, right now?" And we just listened. And just as often as we value eating food, we would value hearing God's voice. That's what Jesus is saying. It's that important to him. And it should be that important to us. Because God's voice is essential for life. The next question is, do I really believe what God is saying about me? Do I receive it and believe it and allow it to really go down deep and create something new in me? Receiving it is just as important as hearing it. Believing it, even when I don't understand or I don't see it yet in my life, I take it as a seed of faith and attach my faith to it and say, "Yes, God, this is who I am. This is who I will be." I want to do two things as I kind of wrap up this episode. First is I want to repent of listening to the voices that are not from God, because for all of us, there's voices constantly surrounding us that are trying to push agendas, trying to push lies. And no human is our enemy. No human is our enemy. There's a spirit. The enemy tries to steal and kill and destroy you. And he's the one that we're battling, not other people. People make agreements with spirits. We make agreements with lies from the enemy. But we're not the enemy. And it's important to keep our eyes locked on Jesus and not in a battle against a person. Even if the voices are attached to lies, believing lies. Ephesians 6:12 says that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers and authorities of the unseen. That's where our battle lies. So I want to repent from listening to voices that are not from the Lord. And then I'm going to read that chapter, that portion of that chapter over you that I was describing earlier from the book, The Search for Significance. And I'll leave the link to the book and the verses that I do read. I'll leave those in the description of the podcast as well, so you can go back and read those again. But yeah, if you want to take some time right now, I'm going to turn on some music. If you want to take some time and repent on your own, that's great. Or if you want to go through it with me, I'm going to lead you through a prayer of repentance, and then we'll move into the verses. So just repeat after me. Father, I repent of listening and receiving voices that are not from you, lies that are not truth. They're not what you're speaking. And I break agreements with every lie I've received about who I am and who you've called me to be. And if there's lies coming to your mind right now, I want you to name those lies. I want you to speak them out. And then I want you to say, I'm ready, Holy Spirit, to receive what you're saying over me. And I'm going to read these verses. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. If by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, he's talking about Adam, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And in him you've been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. And so, as those who've been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. By this, love is perfected in us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. I bless you, and I bless your spirit to receive what God is saying over you, this truth and the power that it carries to bring freedom and life. I thank you, God, that this is what you're saying over us. You're speaking life. And just bless each one that's listening or watching right now, God, that you would affirm, you would confirm what you're saying through Scripture right now, and that there'd be a radical shift in each one watching and listening today to step into great abundance and freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Sex Talks. We believe the topic of healthy sexuality is essential, and more people need to hear it. If you've been impacted by this podcast, please consider sharing and subscribing. For additional episodes, resources, or to connect with us, please visit our website at sextalks.tv or follow us on major social media platforms.